Hey, welcome to the Rock Live Podcast. This is a special edition, RockCon edition. Also, my name is Antonio. I'm here with Pastor Jessica and Pastor Dan, and we are so excited to be here with you all. It is a special edition because we are specifically taking this episode to discuss RockCon, or for our first time ever, our Rock Church Conference. And I'm here with our senior pastors. Hello, guys.
Hey, how are you?
I think it was important. I've had conversations with each of you individually, and I felt it was very important that we sat down for this podcast to really share the heart behind the conference, right? I mean, we know this is not just, I mean, we know we weren't just looking for something to do. We have enough to do.
Yes.
Where this is not just another gathering. This is not just another, hey, I think we should do a conference because that's what people are doing. There's a lot of intent behind this. And we are finding, as we have been planning and preparing, that God is doing something in our own lives, within our staff, within our church, as it pertains to leading up to the conference. So I wanted to sit down and talk about, well, why are we having this conference? So I don't know who wants to go first.
I think I can address that one. You know, The Rock has done events over the decades now, and we've actually just seen how God will impart certain things during those conferences, you know, whether it be a men's conference, a women's conference, young adults. We've done a ton of different things, even one day marriage events and things like that. We see new people come. We see people get planted in the church. You know, we've seen at those conferences, people get delivered, people get healed. We've seen marriages, you know, reconciled and different things like that. And so over the years, I mean, I think probably members of our church, if you said, hey, what was the most impacting moment at The Rock? A lot of times people say, oh man, that conference when this happened,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
There's some iconic moments in my thinking. Like, I remember one time John Bevere was here at a men's conference, and he was preaching the message on breaking intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably remember this
because
the recap video, there's this guy on the front, like literally up against the stage. And when John said, all right, we're gonna, you know, come against that spirit of intimidation. And I want you to just scream at the top of your lungs on the count of three. And he hits three. And this guy, you can tell, just is like, you know, just going for it.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of those like inspiring moments. Like, I know that God was doing something in that guy's life in that moment.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when we look at why any conference, you know, really we can see what God does, how God builds momentum into the church, how he imparts something, the things that he does in members' lives. So this year, you know, Pastor Jess, every year she's like, you know, leading up to her conferences, she's ready to never do it again. And then she has the conference.
They're not fun to put on.
Yeah, they're a lot of work.
Like, oh, they love putting on conferences. Yeah. No.
It's a lot of work.
It is like so much work. Yeah.
So she laments all the way up to the conference that like, why am I doing this? And no one's signing up. And, you know, what are we doing? And then we have the conference and it's like, oh, that was the most amazing thing. But she was praying about the 2024 year, and she had some speakers lined up for 2025, and 2024 she really didn't have anything in her spirit, and so we just decided like, hey, in this space, because last year they gave it up for the men, their spot for the
conference. We actually had it planned, and we were like, I was in prayer.
You were praying, and God spoke to you about
me,
that.
No,
like,
the
give it to the men.
Need to have a conference, and so we women served the men last year, which was a wonderful men's.
It was
conference.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, very good. So we switched over this year, and we were praying about it. And in our we do a year ahead planning every year. And so in our planning time, in our prayer time, Pastor Jess was not getting anything about her conference, so she wasn't moving forward. And we just thought, you know, we've had this idea for years that it would be great to put on a whole church conference where everybody gets to have a piece. You know, men have a piece, women have a piece, youth have a piece, children have a piece. Even La Roca has a piece and things in their own, and we've thrown in this year business leaders. You know, that's kind of a new thing that we've done as an aspect of the breakouts. But we've had this dream for a long time, and it's just never panned out because we've always had either the women's conference, the men's conference, even missions things that we've done.
Right.
We host the ISOM regional conference. We'll be doing that again in 2025. But you know, it was always kind of like, no, we're not, no, we don't want to do that. Or, you know, the women had a really strong vision for the year, or God was speaking about something. This year, though, it just felt like we had that peace, like, this is what we want to do. This is where we want to go. This is an opportunity for the whole church to gather. We've never done anything like this before. And really, the idea behind it is just sitting under the word, just allowing God to impart grace. You know, this is the year of grace. We're talking about shouts of grace, grace, grace to it, you know, and just doubling down, like we see in the Word. Anytime something is double emphasized, we know that God is multiplying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just can see us gathering together as a body of believers, you know, and sitting under the teaching of the Word, just allowing God to double down on the things that He's already started this year, and to really project us into the future. I know I'm kind of getting ahead in some things, but you know, that's really the vision of it is really allowing the Word to be the leader in this sense that it's seeds that are sown, it's grace impartations, it's God moments. Mm-hmm. You know, they're actually extending praise and worship. Mm-hmm. They want to just have some God moments, some God time where we just worship, you know, and just allow the Spirit of God to move. You know, I'm believing God. We're praying, we're fasting, we're doing some different stuff. You guys are praying Wednesdays.
Yep.
And we're just believing God for some God moments, you know, where like, I mean, the agenda's just tossed aside, where we just have to pause in the holiness and in the moment that God arrests us, you know, and really just takes over. And so I'm excited, you know, I'm really looking forward to that. And there's almost that that excitement of the unknown. You know, it's like if you said, what do you want God to do specifically? I couldn't really tell you specifics of like, I just know God wants to do something. Yep. I can't put my finger on what it is. Mm-hmm. But I think that's good because it's varied per individual. Yep. You know, we could have thousands of people in the room and God can touch each one in a personal individual way. I believe callings are going to be,
amen,
you know, distributed. Gifts are going to be given, you know, spiritual insight and deliverance, healing, physical healing, you know, emotional healing, all that kind of stuff. I just feel it when in my prayer time, you know, like God wants to do a ton of stuff, you know, but we have to give him the opportunity. And that's really what the reasoning behind this is. Let's just give God an opportunity through, you know, times in his presence, times in the Word, just allowing that washing to come over us and just see what God does.
Yeah.
You know, conferences are, they're a lot of work. Yes. They're, what people probably don't know is how demonically attacked we get when we do something like a conference. As far as our staff and us, and just like Dan was saying, the reason I would always be like, why am I doing this? Yeah. Is because I didn't know if people were going to show up, and we're doing all this work. We're putting in all this time and this effort. And then are they even going to come? Mm-hmm. And so to understand the value of what this is. So like I pay like $280 or whatever for a camp for one of my children in the summertime. Why? I would pay $500 for that. Because why? Because when my kids get off that mountain, there's a God-breathed like newness in their spirit, man, that they need to continue on in that year.
Right.
For school or with all the junk that they're going to be inundated with. And so you can't put a price on what God does. And then they're set apart during that time, you know, away from like their culture, away from their phones. But they're in this God bubble in a way. And one of me and Pastor Brian were on the front row the other day and we're like, camp is like a conference is adult camp. Mm-hmm. That's what this is. This is our camp. Like. Right. We always have to work. We always have to take care of like everything in life. But this is our time set aside to place a value on, okay, God.
Yeah.
Like I need you to speak.
Yeah.
I need to hear my direction for the next season of my life. I need to find what it is that you have for me and my family. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you're a man or a woman or single or married or whatever, you know, I think about all aspects of what we're doing here. And this has been a hard one, Pastor Antonio, because you kind of inherited all the responsibility of it later on in the planning of it. And then I jumped in like, hey, I used to do every event around here. I probably need to jump in and help you. So it's been a little bit of a like our timing has not been what we would have wanted it to be. But I know that like God doesn't operate on our agendas and on our time. And so I do feel the same. That there's going to be something happening. I just don't know what. And so there's this expectation that I have, but I feel like, you know, if I could tell anybody, every conference I go to, it is a pain in the butt to get to there. Can I be real? Like, I have to leave my kids. I have to leave my husband. I have to, it's usually women's conferences. And I do, I used to go to pastor's one with you, and it was a lot. Like, you have to prepare, like, everything you need to, so that you can go. And the reality is once you get there, though, you have, like, now you're in this mindset of, like, I'm here to receive. This is my time. And, I mean, there were moments in conferences that I've been in that, like, God spoke, God breathed things that I wasn't getting just on the regular Sunday morning because I still had to go take my kids and I still had to go do my job. I still, you know what I mean? This, I'm praying, will be that God moment for people where they come and they sit and they start talking, you know, to each other, and they get a word, or they're sitting in worship and God just drops a revelation about their business on them, or about their marriage, or about their, you know, maybe there needs to be some correction in our lives. And God, because we're in this moment, God's going, hey, you need to get these things in line. Like, these things have been out of order for a while. But with that correction always comes love and a plan on how to do that. And so I believe that this conference is going to be pivotal for any believer that will give it time and come to it. And it's not even that long. Like, I've been to conferences that are like 4 days long, and that's a plan. You really got to plan that out. But in fact, my nail lady was telling me she's going to Thailand for like some like conference that's like 2 weeks long. And I'm like, what do you do? And she's like, we just meditate and interrupt. And I'm like, wow, I wish Christians would take that much time to go and just, we need to give God a little bit more. And we need to pause our lives and we need to make time for God. And we need to invest and pay for it. Like, and people are like, well, why do you pay for it? Well, you know, those speakers aren't free. And the food that everybody eats isn't free. I don't think people get that. Like,
there's no free lunch.
There's no free nothing. The only thing that's free is the power of God and the Spirit of God. And, and that, I believe, is going to be what God is going to show up. So what we're doing here is we're setting the table. We're doing our due diligence. And yet then we're just waiting on God. Because the one thing about the Rock is we're so Spirit-led. This isn't like a, you know, self-help church. This isn't like a, this is what the plan of, you know, whatever. And I'll listen to pastors. I mean, we were just sat down with somebody at a volleyball game recently, and they were strategizing how to do certain things with Dan. And I'm just sitting there listening like, okay, but what about the Holy Spirit? Like, he could change your plan any second. And I feel like that's this conference, because he's changed our plan so much, you know? And then for our church, how unique we are. We are a, if people don't know, we are a multicultural, multi-generational, multi-social class church. Like, we have homeless sitting with business owners in our services with doctors and lawyers. We have black, white, you know, Pacific Islander. We have, gosh, everything.
Latino.
Latino. For sure, 100%.
Well, and because it's amazing. Like, it's when you say multi-ethnic, like, no, like, not just because we have one of each. It's for real.
I love our church for that reason. Like, I know I've been to some churches where, like, we're totally multicultural, and I'm like, okay, you have like a few people here, you know.
Absolutely.
But we're Southern California, you know, and
melting pot.
Inland Southern California. So we are unique. And so for to plan this thing has been very unique, because we were looking at it, and it was funny because I do think that the men started planning all of this, and it looked like a men's conference. In fact, we had women walking through the back door going, so is this just for guys? And we're going, why would they think that?
You know, and I think the other thing too is that I know early on in the planning, they were looking for female speakers. And for some reason,
they're hard to get.
They're very hard to get.
Very hard to get.
It's just kind of crazy. And I get it. You know, there were some that were very polite, and they were like, we would be there, but our conference is the same weekend. And so we understood that. But I mean, some of them, it was just like,
we had to go through like Fort Knox to get anyone to come to. Like, that's ridiculous. I'm like, we're the body of Christ. We act like the world. So, like, it is hard to get speakers. And then, you know, we had some lined up and just tragedy happened in their lives and they couldn't come. And so, like, there's just like a lot. So, honestly, I feel like whoever's coming, it is going to be exactly who needs to be here. And we have a great lineup of speakers. I mean, really. I don't know if you want to talk about some of the speakers that are coming.
Well, speaking of women speakers, you've had Zaida at the women's conference before, right? She's awesome.
She's a mighty woman of God. She's been a pastor. I don't even know how long, forever.
And well, I did, so 5 years ago, I did their 13-year anniversary service at their church. So that's 18 years.
And I'm sure before that.
Probably more than that. But yeah, Iglesia Doral Jesus Worship Center in Miami.
Yeah.
Pastor Frank and Zida. And they're just awesome.
The
and
most
she
amazing
does,
people you'll ever meet.
She does a women's conference. It's in Spanish, but it's called Edifica, right? Mm-hmm. And just,
it's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, thousands of ladies over the years been impacted.
Yep.
And just a dynamic woman of God. And, but I mean, like, her and Frank are like the most huggable people on the planet. I mean, outside of Pastor Antonio, you know, so, but like,
Frank is just such a man of God.
Oh,
he's like a stable, sturdy, like when you're in his presence, you're like, I'm safe.
He's just this tall Cuban man that just makes you feel like, you know, you're the most special person. Yeah, he's great.
Same with Zida, full of wisdom. I just love being with them. So I'm excited about them coming.
Quick story about Frank. You know, anybody who's listened to Pastor Jim preach probably has heard this story back in the day. But Frank had a guy in his church that was a boxer. And so the Pacquiao fight, this boxer in Frank's church was going to, he was going to fight first and then Pacquiao was going to come up.
Yeah.
And so Pastor Jim was with Frank. And they went up, they were going to go watch the fight live. And so Frank was like, will you come and pray for my church member, you know? And so this guy, he didn't speak any English, but Pastor Jim started praying for him. He said they had a Pentecostal experience. The guy's jumping up and down, you know, just going for it. So then they said, well, hey, do you want to pray for Pacquiao? And he's like, yeah, let me go pray for him. You know, so they were going up to pray for him. But I guess there was a politician that came in to greet him. And so they're like, we're so sorry you can't come in right now. So he never got to pray for Pacquiao. Well, the member of Frank's church won the fight. Pacquiao lost.
Oh, man.
Should have had Pastor Jim pray. So anyways, what was funny was we're we're at a Wednesday night church service. The fight was on a Wednesday night. So he took off that Wednesday night to go to the fight with Frank. And so... they're going through this dark tunnel, and Pastor Jim, you know, he's at the time in his 60s, and he's like looking, and he's like, oh, it's so dark in here. And Frank goes, here. And he holds his hand and walks him out.
My dad is like a man's man.
I mean, this, like, you think about like it, he's like John Wayne.
Yeah.
And so Frank holds his hand and walks him out of this dark tunnel. But the crazy thing was, during the church service, my phone starts buzzing. Yeah. I start getting these text messages. And it's like people that are at home that skipped church to watch the fight, you know, and they're watching the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And so they're showing this member of Frank's church walking out of the tunnel. Well, here's Frank and Pastor Jim behind him wearing the, you know, the suit, the full body suit and all that kind of stuff, the sweat outfit. And so they're coming out. They're on TV, and they're like, is my pastor at the fight?
Well, I remember seeing it, and you see kind of Pastor Jim's kind of...
Hey, he's got his arm up, like his fist up.
You
like,
walk,
yeah.
They're walking in, like the music's going, and like, you're... I mean, he's
Well, and
he's
if you know my
immersed.
Dad's history, my grandfather was a lightweight boxing champion.
Yeah.
So my dad loved boxing.
I always
well, well, that's actually
boxing.
Where the name Cobre came from.
Yes.
Is because they were Nucci.
Yeah, that's our last name. Real last name is Nucci.
But there was a lot of prejudice against Italians back in that day.
Yeah.
And so he was in the army. He was 16 years old, right?
Yeah. Back in the day, I guess you could lie to the army and they didn't check your paperwork.
Lied about his age.
So he was an immigrant, obviously. Yeah. And he came over. He only spoke Italian. And he learned the language. He actually grew up in the Redwood Forest with my uncle and, like, took care of the forest. He would sleep
in the
forest.
That'd be your great-great-uncle.
Great-great-great-great. And so my grandfather was, like, liked boxing. So he went into the army at Scroful Barracks over in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And he was 16 years old, but he was actually said he was 18, but he wasn't. And so he became a lightweight boxing champion.
But he was Rudy Cobra.
But Nucci was not like a good last name, you know. And so he named it himself Cobra, Rudolph Cobra. And then he met my Nana, who was this tall, like, bottleneck, you know, redhead. Yeah. And he was like, I'm going to marry her. And she's like, ew, no, you're too short. And so he finally won her over, and she was like, if I marry you, Cobra will not be our last name. Right. We're putting an E on the end of it, and we're making it Cobra. So anybody who's Cobra's obviously related to me because it's made-up name. Yeah. So people think we're French. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Like, it is actually. Awesome. It sounds French, though. It's amazing to me, though, that in America, you could just make up whatever you wanted to at that time and, like, just change
a lot of people have different last name or iterations of their last name that they changed.
Mm-hmm.
What's that island? Or in
Ellis Island, They changed a lot of it.
Yeah, they did. Or the officials changed them. Like, I don't like that. We're going to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they would shorten names or they would, you know, America.
Isn't yours? Isn't Roth?
Roth.
Isn't it
Roth means red in German.
Okay.
So I don't know, like, there's been a lot of talk, especially amongst the Cobras.
Right.
A lot of them think that I'm Jewish.
Well, look at him. What's, like,
I mean, the church thinks I'm Latino. Yeah, some of them think I'm Middle Eastern, you know.
Especially when you're your Moreno Valley.
Moreno Valley. I always joke that the Latinos like the way I say tortilla.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, less. I mean, one of our ushers came in, he's like, Pastor, you have a tongue for Spanish.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm a Heinz 57. Yeah. We got about everything, you know, in there. And, you know, when we look back, I can trace a lot of the stuff, but I don't know about the Jewish.
Yeah.
Now, in Germany, obviously, there was a lot of German
Jews.
Obviously,
the Holocaust.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that went on there. And Roth, you know, Rothschild, mm-hmm. that sort of thing is a German name. But I don't know, because when I went to Germany, we went to Rotenburg, which is Rothenburg. You know, so it could
have been shortened or...
It could have been a part of...
Well, and then we have, like, some German people that have but now recently become a part of our church, and I literally was looking across the sanctuary last week, and I was like, Dan looks like his brother.
Yeah.
My gosh. Maybe he really is German.
Awesome. We could be brothers.
Well, hey. Well, so that's that...
How did we get on this subject?
Frank Lopez, yeah. Frank and Zida. Wonderful people. Wonderful pastors. We got Jabin coming.
Jabin Chavez,
he's City Lights
best.
Church.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's just wonderful. Man, I tell
such
you.
Such a wonderful pastor.
I smile when I hear his preaching clips on the videos that we have, just because I just love the guy.
Yeah.
Story about Jabin.
Yeah.
Okay? This might make it into the conference when we introduce him, but first time I met Jabin, I think you were having him at Young Adults or something like that, right?
Yeah.
It was Friday night. You had him in our pastor's lounge, and so I was coming that night, and they said, do you want to go meet Jabin? I said, yeah, let's go meet him. You know, so I come in, and I walk into the lounge, and Jabin is sitting on the couch. He's got the little coffee table in front of him. He's leaning over, getting a drink or something like that. And he looks up at me, and this was 8 years ago. Uh-huh. So I had, you know, a goatee, but it didn't connect. Like, I think in 8 years somehow... I don't know if I've just matured
it's
enough.
It's very hard for Dan to grow up facial hair.
Yeah, the sides don't. Yeah, I see you shaved finally. So, but at the time, it was just kind of, I call it the Errol Flynn, if anybody remembers the old Robin Hood, you know, back in the day. But Jabin looks at me, and his mind just goes somewhere else. And he's like, okay, the guy from the movie Tombstone. And I'm like.
Yes.
What is going? Yeah, Val Kilmer, Doc Holliday, right?
Oh my gosh, I see it. Now.
Yeah, now you see it, right? I just need the big long black hat. I'll be your Huckleberry.
Yeah. Oh my
God. I mean, oh man,
Tombstone. Yeah,
crack me
hilarious.
Up. But yeah,
Jabin,
we were so blessed to support him when he started City Light Church in Vegas. He sent us his support letter and that sort of a thing, and he's just been going strong. He's actually building a building right now.
I'm excited for him.
Yeah, no, I mean, some great things are ahead of him.
I just saw a post that they're going to have to go to 4 church services. They had a line going out the building to
him.
Get into church service.
That's awesome.
So they
people
had
need
3
Jesus.
Full services.
Praise the Lord.
They have to go to 4.
Yeah, he told me because I asked him about the building. He said it can't come soon enough, you know, just because, I mean, they're out of space.
Yep.
So that's great.
Good problems to have.
We have Julian Lowe coming.
Yes.
Yes.
Julian took over at Oasis Church. Mm-hmm. It was Philip and Holly Wagner. A lot of people know
the
Wagners and just wonderful, wonderful pastors for decades. They handed that church over to Julian, and he's just been killing it, man. They've been doing such a great job. A little aside about Julian, since we're going into all this stuff. Julian is an avid golfer.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't played with him yet, but maybe someday he can teach me how to play golf. So.
And he's an SB native.
SB native, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's going to probably talk about that.
Yeah.
He gets to come back to his hood.
Back to the hometown. Yeah, hometown.
That's really exciting.
And he was excited, right, to come and preach in San Bernardino.
Absolutely.
We have Jeff Osborne coming back. Jeff's a Rock Church favorite.
Yep.
We just love that guy.
Yeah. He's going to be meeting our business leaders.
Yes.
So the cool thing about you'd mentioned the business leader breakout session. This is our first time doing something like this, but it's going to be set apart for people who already own businesses or want information. Jeff speaks to business leaders in all spectrums of industry. And so
he has a couple businesses,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
He does have a great donut shop.
Right.
In
he
Rancho,
does.
In Chino.
And
Chino.
Like,
yes.
So Chino?
He owns
Chino.
Businesses and he coaches so business leaders. And so we're excited. And then he's going to minister in the youth because there is some youth sessions.
Yes.
That
yep.
we're
he
having.
Has quite a testimony. So it'll bless them.
Yep. And then Sammy Rodriguez is coming.
Sammy Rodriguez.
And
yeah.
Just love that guy. Mm-hmm. I've been following his ministry for a long time. And I've been sharing with Pastor Jess. I've been wanting him to come. Mm-hmm. And it just. I don't know why. You know, it's just it's God's timing,
yeah.
Obviously.
Well, it's hard to get some of, you know, guest speakers. They're just
I
so
don't know that we've ever even reached out, though. I mean, I think that's the thing is
right.
Is that, like, he probably would have came.
Yeah.
You know?
We just don't have a lot of guest speakers.
We do.
Yeah.
Why you got to say that?
Because we just
strike
don't have
it from the podcast.
We don't have a lot of events.
What are you talking about? We're an event-driven church. I mean, I don't know. Who let this girl in?
Okay.
Well, I
we
see what you're
you
saying. Maybe
saying?
A lot of
like, yes.
a lot of newer because
yeah.
we have a lot of people who are returning
who
guests.
Are returning.
We do.
And
yes.
We do
have
like
our
not
own
guests
kind of like
after a while, right? They
yeah,
like,
group
oh,
of people.
Yeah.
Family.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say Jeff is kind of newer.
Yes.
Even though I've known Jeff for a long time,
yeah, he's
and
not part of the family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeff is family now. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But no, Sammy. I'm excited to have him come. He's got a great church up in Northern California, Sacramento area, and but he's been a part of like the Latino Evangelical.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I'm saying the
National Hispanic Leadership Caucus or
something.
Council
yeah.
Or
I
wow.
mean, he's yeah.
He's been the president.
Yeah, and he's been doing that for a long time. I know that he was a part of the in Los Angeles. They had the Urban Youth Workers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stuff that they were yep. doing for a long time. He was ministering at that, and that's how far back that goes. It was when, you know, Sammy had shoulder length hair
mm-hmm.
at that time. You
wow.
know,
yes,
so,
I remember that.
Yeah, you
yeah.
remember. So, yeah. But a lot of people, you know, learned who he was when he prayed at Trump's inauguration,
mm-hmm.
and started following his ministry. The guy is prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in meetings where
mm-hmm.
he's been at.
Yeah.
In fact, he the first year again back 8 years ago.
Yeah.
First year I was a senior pastor. I went to a conference up in Northern California. And the whole time I was there, I was like, God, why am I here? You know, it was good stuff, good
yeah.
content, and, you know, that sort of thing. But, I mean, really, like, I could have probably read the book, or I probably could have, mm-hmm. you know, just listened online or you know, whatever. And
so
us
pastors have those thoughts, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you know everybody listening
we,
probably has those thoughts.
We have,
well.
Like,
yeah.
what is going on? Sammy preached, he brought a word.
Yeah.
And we did communion, and I remember by the end of that service, I was in tears. I was like, okay, God, I know
yeah.
why I was – I needed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I needed that reassurance. I needed that, you
but
know.
But it's that God moment at a conference that, like
– Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what we're believing God for. I think Friday night with Sammy, we're going to have some of those moments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's going to preach, prophesy,
yeah.
and we're going to just have some of those insane, like, do you remember when, mm-hmm. you know, type moments
yeah.
Friday night with
I
him.
I want to point out one more thing, though. With conference, you are at this event for 2 days, and then we move ours into Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So Frank and Zida will still be with
They'll
us.
They'll be preaching
on
Sunday mornings, yeah.
And you are in a group of people that are like believers.
Mm-hmm.
They're like faith. And
yeah.
so there's a faith that arises amongst
mm-hmm.
a
mm-hmm.
congregation
yeah.
that are all there for the same purpose, the same reason.
Yeah.
And I believe that when faith is built up, the power of God can move.
Yeah.
And so when you put yourself in that position
mm-hmm.
to be in that atmosphere, you're going to receive something, but you will also receive friendship. So right now, we're living in such a dark world. Believers are getting saved, but they're still keeping their same friends. They still have to be around their same family members
yeah.
that are unsaved. And they're going, I'm feeling like, how do I find friends? And especially, I think social media has taught us to not actually have real friends, like
yeah.
where we look each other in the eyes and we have real conversations and we see how we've made each other feel, right? You're now going to sit next to someone. You're going
mm-hmm.
to have lunch
mm-hmm.
around people. You're going to be able to be in workshops with people. You're going to meet people. And so I would say to everybody who is coming,
yeah.
put yourself out there a little bit.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself to someone.
For sure.
Because this is our church. This is our community. And when the world gets darker and darker, we're going to need each other.
Right.
We're going to need each other to build each other up. We're going to need each other to, like, encourage each other and know I'm not alone in this, but we're in this together,
right.
you know?
And
yeah.
we just may have some pre-conference and in-between session mixers and things like that.
Yeah.
So we, you know, for the introvert that doesn't want that, we may.
Well, you know, the stage has been set. There's the expectation, but like we've been saying, there's the investment that needs to be done on your part. And that's
yeah.
why we're encouraging you to set aside the time, come with the expectation that, you know, it might not be any one specific session or It's like it could be the last session on the last day.
For me, it's always that way.
It just deposits. It drops.
It is for you, yeah.
Because you have to move aside of all the thoughts of what else you could be doing.
We almost had to detox
your
life.
What you sacrificed to get here, you know.
For sure.
This wasn't the lunch I wanted. This, you know, it took long to get in the parking lot. Whatever things that you have to, exactly. But God shows up in powerful ways. And that's why we continue to have this. And I remember one of the things that sparked even this podcast, Pastor Jess, was when you talked about how we want to equip and strengthen our church.
Yeah.
And we're believing that after this conference. So yeah, we're going to have an amazing time in these few days and set aside. But something, it's going to ignite something within us, because we don't want to be weak Christians. I think that was the target word that you had said that really stuck out. We don't want to be weak Christians. We can't be weak Christians for what God is calling our local church. And we believe our region and believers all over is to stand up and be strong in our faith.
Be real Christians.
Not just go through the motions of church, because the reality is, there are lost and dying people that are looking for someone that would tell them.
Yes.
To tell somebody about Jesus, they're almost in that's what I need. That's what I want.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, myself included, I get either too shy all of a sudden or I can make excuses for why it's to not share my faith, or even if I'm not going to go evangelize, you know, and do an altar call. But just tell somebody about the goodness of God or bless somebody in a way.
Just being a Christian is that. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know if people put an investment into building ourselves up in our Christian faith and our Christian walk as much as we do other things.
Yeah.
And this is that investment.
Yeah.
Like I'm thinking about my son. Brag on him a bit. He's a part of a football team. And if any parent out there knows, football like takes every inch of your time.
Yeah.
And there was like a mess up with some of the scheduling. They were going to have to pop in it was his bye week. So he got to be off on the same week that he was going to come to conference. And we were so grateful because we were like, you wouldn't be going to that football game if you were going to. And his coach then tried to say, well, we're going to throw in another game because somebody had to cancel on us on another time. And he looked at his coach and he said, I'm so sorry, but I already made a commitment and I won't be able to make it because I have to, God comes first. And then he had another commitment after the conference too. And so I thought to myself, you know, probably other people would hate that, that he did that. But what he was doing for himself and what he was doing to his coach was God comes first. Now he goes to a Christian school. So I think it kind of challenged the coach a bit. And all the other players were like, yeah, we're busy too. And so like they didn't end up having the game.
No game.
But the reality is like we put football in front of God. We put our kids' soccer game in front of God. We put all, and it's like, no, pause.
Yeah.
Like, let them know, because that right there saying, I have something that I'm committed to at church says something to the team.
Right.
Well, it says something to the coaches. It says something to the players. And they can be like, oh, you're not a team player. No, God comes first before us. Right. And that is what you're saying. And I think that these are the things that speak about our Christian life.
Even the value people put on it. You know, recently, you know, some family members and some friends went to a concert, and nothing wrong with that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, how much do people put value on seeing that band?
Mm-hmm. Well, they plan for that.
Oh, man. Yeah. They get the tickets early. Right. They're, you know, paying for parking, all that kind of stuff.
Nothing wrong with it.
And then when we have a church conference, it's like, I don't know. You know, but it's like
they're waiting to see if something better comes along. Right. And I'm like, well, you know, if that's how you're going to treat God, I loved what you said this weekend.
The measure that you put in is the measure you get out. You know, how you treat God is how he'll treat you.
Well, I want to answer that question because, you know, we alluded to a little bit earlier, but some people, they don't know what to expect. We've had men's conferences.
Mm-hmm.
We've had women's conferences. We've never really had this all church.
Yeah, this is new.
Yeah.
So there's not really that thing to lean on, right? Like, so we know that with men's conference, you're going to get this like macho time. We know with women's conferences, you're going to get, you know, these amazing times, whether it be the kiss goodbye or the things that are part of the traditions of each of these events. But maybe we can really quickly speak into that part of just what we're going to expect to come and see and experience.
You know, I think one of the delightful things is that with RockCon, we can take Rock Church and we can almost amplify it, you know. So the things that we love and enjoy about the Rock Church, I think at the conference are going to be like the highlight, you know. There's some great things that take place at this house. And mm-hmm. so I know that we've got our team that's planning some things, the breakout sessions for sure. Some of the core values of the Rock are going to be even, gone into in depth. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, like, with the men's conference stuff, definitely we're going to bring in that macho manly,
you'll have an aspect feel. Of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that?
You'll have an aspect.
Oh,
of
for
that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, beyond just the graphics that went a little manly, with the black and orange and all that kind of stuff. But
I've had men at my women's conferences.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So women receive from men.
But I know when they do the breakouts for the women and when they do the sessions for the youth and things like that, even just the things surrounding that, you're going to get those elements of what each unique piece is. Yep. And then the cool thing is we're going to come together from those unique perspectives and we're going to have those sessions together where all of us mm-hmm. And I think that's the aspect of, even if you're a single person, the aspect of family, that you're a part of something. Yep, you're a part of this great big congregation. Mm-hmm. These are my brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is our Father God is coming to be with us.
Well, we have the children's ministry is doing a conference.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're doing
the kids.
Con.
Like, so the children are having their own. The youth are having their own mm-hmm. stuff going on, and then yep. they'll be joining
and
us.
And they're having, like, Nerf battles and some different stuff going on, mm-hmm. that some of the adults might want to sneak into, But there's going to be some of those fun, just unique aspects that all of us can say, hey, RockCon was uniquely Rock, And I'm looking forward to it if they ever do that again. Yeah. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah. I think we're going to have fun, too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, we've been, like, so serious. Like, the world is so... Now,
especially
like
these past 4 years,
gosh. So not fun. And but I do think, like, I was just in one of the rehearsals on Thursday, and really we are having fun.
Yes.
It's gonna be fun. We are going to have some fun aspects. So I think it's gonna be a roller coaster of just a whimsical time with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to say that, but
I like
that. Believe that God wants to bring some supernatural into our very normal natural world, and it's going to be a ride.
Yep.
So you don't want to miss it.
Yeah, love it. Good stuff. All right, guys. Well, you heard it here. Get connected. Get registered. We will see you at RockCon September 13th, 14th, and even into Sunday. Love you guys. We'll see you there.